Who can take a flower, roll it up and make it fine? Sprinkle it with knowledge and a little bit of time. Cover it with headlines and a sweet euphoria too. Cannabis man, cannabis man, can. Who can take a story and make it feel so grand? Spread the word around about the wonders of this land. Mix it all with laughter and a sprinkle of insight. Cannabis man, cannabis man flies. Ooh, cannabis man, spreading news and joy across the land. Diving deep into the growing green. Cannabis man, we're all keen. Ooh, ooh, yeah. Ooh.
Hey, welcome into the Cannabis Man podcast. Thanks for clicking on the show. I'm your host, Don Kleppen. And if it's your first time here, welcome in. Or if you are a longtime listener or a fellow cannabis enthusiast just interested in finding out some more about the plant, I appreciate you checking this out. This is a show where we're trying to take a journalistic look at all things cannabis. I'm a broadcaster in Chicago. You can hear me on the radio doing news for WGN Radio on Saturday mornings with House Smarts Radio. Lou Manfredini is the host. And I do traffic for iHeart in Chicago. You can hear me on stations all around the Midwest doing that. And I've been in broadcast for a while. I've also been a personal cannabis user for about 18 years or so. And once it legalized here in Illinois, I found myself wanting some deeper conversations, more informative conversations about what the plant can offer people. And I just felt like the options for that were lacking. And so that's kind of what led me to starting this podcast. And I like to speak with experts in the field, if those are researchers, doctors, or policymakers, or entrepreneurs, or journalists like myself, just kind of covering the space. And I love to bring those conversations and perspective to you. I also like to try and keep up to date on the latest news and events regarding cannabis, and I like to bring that to you as well. And I have plenty of stories to talk about today. Be sure to follow the show at C-Man Podcast on Twitter and Instagram, and it's the Cannabis Man Podcast Facebook and YouTube pages. Be sure to leave a rating or review, however you're listening to this, whichever platform you use. There's a way to like, subscribe, or assign some kind of rating or review of the show. And if you do that, it really helps me out standing out from other podcasts out there. And if you really like what I'm doing, become a subscriber through Buzzsprout. Scroll on down to the description notes and hit that support the show link. It'll take you to another page and you can set up a subscription. You'll get a thank you email from me and your name shouted out in the next episode. Lots to talk about this week, so let's get to it on the Cannabis Man Podcast.
This is Tommy Chong, and you're listening to the Cannabis Podcast.
There we go. Boy, it has been a whirlwind of a time period for me, listener. I don't know if you heard recent episodes. If it's your first time, you don't know, but me and my wife recently had a newborn daughter, Violet, came into the world April 12th. And boy, it's just been, I'm having a hard time really keeping track of time. You may have experienced this if you're a parent yourself, but if not, it's the time since she's come, I have found it to be very interesting how it passes. Sometimes when we're, you know, up late, if it's doing, you know, a feeding or she's crying in the middle of the night and have to change her or whatever, sometimes those minutes seem to crawl by. But at the same time, I'm recording this April 26th, and tonight will have been 2 weeks since she was born, and it just feels like that was yesterday. So I'm just kind of having a really hard time keeping track of time as it passes, and soon I'll be going back to work and kind of getting into the regular routine of things. But man, it's been kind of magical around my house, and I'm just really thankful for everyone who's reached out. People have been sending so many nice messages. The outpouring of love and support has just been overwhelming, honestly. Gretchen and I are so thrilled. Violet has already gotten many, many gifts, including some outfits that really put mine and Gretchen's closets to shame. She's really styling already. And I wanted to send a specific shout out to my friends and family at WGN Radio, as well as at iHeart. Gretchen and I both got some really, really nice gifts. We got some flowers and a nice message from WGN Radio, and we got a lovely gift basket that just arrived from iHeart Radio. And I'm just so moved, you know, along with, like I said, my family, our friends personally, and you know, Gretchen and I have both got some great people in our lives, and they've just been so supportive and so helpful through all of this that it's made both her and I feel like we were able to hit the ground running. You know, Violet came 2.5 weeks early from her due date. Her due date's actually Monday, the 29th. So she came 2.5 weeks early, but because of all the help we've gotten, we felt like we were able to hit the ground running. And you know, being a new parent is certainly an adjustment, but I really do feel like we've been able to handle it pretty well, and I'm thankful for, you know, her health and Gretchen's as well, and everything is moving in the direction you'd want it to be, and honestly, I'm just so bursting with happiness. I felt like I needed to just kind of share that with you, and I wanted to say thank you to both WGN and iHeart, because those were really nice gestures, and it certainly made me and Gretchen and you know, Violet as well, when she gets older, we really, really feel appreciative of it. And on that note, you know, I mentioned last week, just after Violet arrived, that while my wife and I were at Evanston Hospital, you know, awaiting her, you know, arrival, I left for a little bit. The hospital, went to downtown Evanston, stopped by the local dispensary there, the Zen Leaf, which is a Verano operation. And when I told them that my wife was at the hospital, you know, in labor, they were overjoyed. They threw some really nice stuff on top of the pre-rolls I ordered, including a vape pen and some edibles. And I haven't had a chance to try the edibles yet, but I've got this vape pen right here. It is part of the Shine brand, which is a GTI product. I've talked with Green Thumb about this. I love the brand because it fits right alongside their Rise Dispensaries brand, Rise and Shine. So I'm sure you've seen some of these vape pens out there. They've also got some other products under that name. And this is a strawberry flavored one. It's got about 300 milligrams of CBD, CBG, and THC. And I've just been pulling on it, you know, here and there. I've been going outside to do any smoking. You know, I love my Dynavap products. I'm using my Woodwind. When I go outside, I kind of bring my little kitchen blowtorch with me out there. I've got to find a better heating source for that. And of course, I've got my classic dugout. I don't know if you still use a dugout or if you even know what that is, but it's that little wooden case, sometimes they're metal, and a little metal tube that's sometimes disguised to look like a cigarette, and you fill one half of it with ground up weed, and you sort of push the metal tube down into it to pack the front end of it, and then you just light it on the front end and just kind of, it's a very, very simple way to keep your weed and a smoking device with you all in that one little container that fits well in your pocket next to a lighter. So I, of course, have been using that since like college, and I still have mine, and I've been pulling on this strawberry and shine pen from my friends over at Zenleaf, which I really, really appreciate that. They were very kind, as well as the people at Egg Harbor Cafe. If you're ever in downtown Evanston, boy, those portions were large and the cuisine there was delicious. So if you're in the area, check it out and tell them Cannabis Man sent you. And this and shine vape pen, this is going to be my strain of the week right here. So wherever you are, I hope you're able to light up with me, or certainly set it up for yourself later. Look forward to it, or burn one right now, because life is short and we should be enjoying the good things while we can. Cheers. Ah, very tasty, very smooth. Now let's roll into the News Joint Wrap, brought to you by IllinoisNewsJoint.com. Think of it as the joint you can hit for all your Illinois cannabis news and reviews. Let's start with some news, some new adopted and proposed rules for cannabis infusers. These came from the latest issues of the Illinois Register and the Flynn Report. Lawmakers, the Department of Revenue, and the Department of Financial and Professional Regulation announced last week on the 21st a new adopted rule and proposed rule regarding cannabis infuser license holders. The Flynn Report stated DOR also adopted amendments to the Cannabis Cultivation Privilege Tax, clarifying that the transfer of cannabis or cannabis concentrate from a cultivator to an infuser under an agreement whereby the cultivator retains ownership of the cannabis or concentrate and the infuser is merely creating cannabis-infused products for the cultivator to resell, is not a, quote, first sale on which the cultivator would owe tax. Examples of transactions that meet these criteria are included in the Flynn report, along with record-keeping requirements for those transfers. Also stated in the report, IDFPR proposed an amendment to the part titled Cannabis Regulation and Tax Act correcting errors in the listed fees for modifications and alternations to licensed infuser facilities. For modifications to a license, a fee of $1,250 is due at the time of application, with an additional fee of $750 due upon approval of said application. For alterations to a facility that do not require an amendment to the license, the application fee is $250. DOA will refund the excess portion of any fee paid by an applicant prior to September 1st of this year, which was higher than the amounts listed in that rulemaking. So that change is significant if you did any kind of applications. So that's significant if you're a cannabis business operator, if you've got a license for either an infuser or a cultivation facility, if you've modified it at all, and you paid any more than $1,250 or that additional fee of $750, so you're talking about $2,000 total. If you paid more than that, you might be entitled to a refund. Contact them after September 1st. And some more very exciting news here. The Academic Cannabis Conference and After Party has been set for May 4th. Special day for Star Wars fans, that May the 4th. This was posted this week by Jason Brown. The Academic Cannabis Conference is set to attract attendees from across the Illinois cannabis industry, including professionals, longtime enthusiasts, and newcomers, all headed to the Garden Grove Event Center in Carbondale for two conjoining networking experiences. One, the Education Center and Job Fair, and two, the Entertainment and Cannabis Community. Tickets are free, and you can reserve them through IllinoisNewsJoint.com. Though the two event spaces are separated within the event grounds, ticket holders will have free rein to go back and forth between those two conjoining events. They run from noon to 5 p.m. May 4th, and that center is located at 1215 East Walnut Street in Carbondale. The entertainment part features a variety of new and established cannabis brands in the state, legal consumption, a full cannabis bar service sponsored by The Botanist, a dab bar service sponsored by Legacy, and an infused cocktail bar service sponsored by Tonic. There's also joint rolling stations courtesy of Cresco, live glass blowing from Koala Tea Glass, food, games, giveaways, and more. That sounds like a whale of a good time, and you have the Education and Job Fair as well, part of the event if you're looking to get into the industry or if you're just looking to kind of see what the businesses are doing, what's kind of going on all around there. Or just learn what you can about what's going on in cannabis. This is in conjunction with the SIUC Cannabis Science Center. You've heard me talk with Dr. Jose LeMay here on this show. Check out that episode. It goes into a lot of great detail about what they're already working on and what their plans are for the future. But Carbondale is a great, great campus. Was there recently. What a great opportunity to both educate and get some entertainment as well, all in the same spot on May the 4th from 12 to 5 p.m. Find out more about that at IllinoisNewsJoint.com. And of course, there are some great reviews, as there always are. The Cap Junkie FSHO Infused Pre-Rolls by Arise, Chilled Cherries by Galaxy Labs, Zope by One Day, and Strawberry Jemmy Gummy by Dr. Consulter. All of that, as well as news and events, as I just brought to you, and a whole lot more at IllinoisNewsJoint.com. Now I'd like to segue to some national cannabis news here. A lot has been going on. Obviously, this has been a big month, 420, always very exciting, and this one in particular for a lot of reasons. And as I talk about all the time on the show, the appetite, the approval for legalizing cannabis, or certainly descheduling or decriminalizing it nationwide, has never been higher, and the calls have grown louder and louder, and I just can't say how proud I am and how happy that everybody seems to be going that route here, because again, as I've talked about many times, the holdup from government organizations like the DEA in the face of such broad support, and not just support, but full-throated requests to end this prohibition, they are just constant, and the persistence is clearly starting to have an impact. And on that note, I wanted to bring up an article here from our friends at the MarijuanaHerald.com. This was published earlier this week. 28 organizations endorse legalizing marijuana, including National Education Association and the National Nurses United. The coalition also includes organizations like Move On and the National Immigrant Justice Center, and officially endorsed the Progressive Proposition Agenda, which was recently put forth by the Congressional Progressive Caucus, CPC. The agenda calls for lawmakers to pass laws that reduce criminalization and incarceration through sentencing reform, legalizing cannabis, expunging records, providing restorative justice, and an accelerated and reformed clemency process for people with marijuana-related convictions. There is a full list of endorsers, which is extensive, here on this article, which I have shared below in the description notes. Click the link and you can follow along, or you can read this for yourself when it's convenient. Definitely don't recommend it while driving. And the CPC says that their agenda, quote, can pass with congressional majorities. Democrats would have a congressional majority if they retain the Senate and presidency this November, while taking back the House by netting at least 6 seats. It finishes the article saying, according to recent polling, 66% of American adults support legalizing marijuana for recreational use. I have brought up on the show in the past that I've seen numbers as high as 88%. So whatever numbers you're using, the message is loud and clear across the board. Well more than half the country, well more than a controlling majority of this country, are very much interested in seeing cannabis legalized. And this next article will kind of illustrate why it's so imperative that that step be taken. Because if you live in a legal state or country like I do, it's awesome. But as you know, that's not the case for everybody still. It's this sort of tug of war happening culturally and legally around the world right now. And even in legal states, the laws, here in the U.S., the laws have not prevented entirely law enforcement from still getting involved with legal cannabis operations. This is another article from our friends at the MarijuanaHerald.com. The headline reads, U.S. Secretary of Homeland Security tells New Mexico governor they will continue seizing legal marijuana. The subheader reads, New Mexico Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham has confronted the U.S. Secretary of Homeland Security regarding Customs and Border Protection's CBP decision to begin seizing massive amounts of cannabis from state-licensed marijuana businesses in New Mexico and arresting employees. Now, I went on through this article. This one's more lengthy. I've shared it below, but I'll kind of summarize here. Over the last few weeks, the CBP has been confiscating hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of cannabis moved by marijuana companies that are legal under New Mexico law. One of my first episodes of this show, I interviewed someone from New Mexico's newly formed, at the time, cannabis department. And they talked about all their plans and how exciting it was that they were joining the legal ranks. Well, you can imagine their surprise when then, after almost 2 years, Homeland Security agents started seizing products. And not only that, a handful of cannabis employees have been arrested, with one recording showing a Border Patrol agent saying, quote, we've been instructed to seize all cannabis, all illegal products. It's still federally illegal, end quote. Now, the governor of New Mexico has met with Alejandro Mayorkas, the U.S. Secretary of Homeland Security, to question whether these seizures have happened and to request them to stop. During the conversation, Mayorkas reportedly told Governor Grisham that there has been no change in federal law, and thus the seizures will likely continue. And as the article notes, federal policy has, of course, marijuana as a Schedule 1 drug currently, making it illegal for all purposes. That's all of the article that I will read. You get the point here, and it just kind of gives more detail. By all means, read it to its completion. There is more important context in there, but you've gotten the gist now. And the point of that, and the reason I wanted to share it, is because as much support as there is, and as much well-deserved goodwill in legal states and countries that are celebrating and partying their legal cannabis status, this incident in New Mexico, where this Department of the federal government has seemingly decided to, I don't know if this is just the last gasp of the prohibition of cannabis, you know? I don't know if this is just guys riding it out until it's officially changed and done with. Maybe they sort of see the way this is headed, and they know that that aspect of their power is going to disappear. So I don't know if that's what this is. I don't know if maybe someone higher up, I don't know if the DEA and Homeland Security are colluding, if they're both just kind of law enforcement bro departments, and so they're not officially communicating, but just kind of trying to support each other in this time of great change, I guess. I really can't make sense of it, but it's aggravating, obviously, to say the least, and to these employees and the business owners who have been arrested and had their product seized, respectively. This is obviously no laughing matter. And this is why it's imperative to change the status. When people ask, you know, and it doesn't happen frequently, thank God. It seems like everyone realizes what a travesty this still is. But when people do ask, like, what's the big deal changing it from Schedule 1 to, like, Schedule 3, let's say, as I've talked about on the show before, other substances that fall under the Schedule 3 umbrella include caffeine and Tylenol. These are things that are way less regulated. And, you know, you would hope for just full legalization, decriminalization, like that'd be great. But we can certainly start by removing it from Schedule 1, acknowledging that there's medical benefit, acknowledging that a majority of states have legalized it medically and have just about done so recreationally as well. I mean, some change has to be made. Yesterday, obviously, but right now will suffice. And if all they can do right now is rescheduling, we will take it. And that's not the end. Decriminalization will eventually happen. Safe banking. What order these things are done in remains to be seen. But the fact is, they definitely will happen. And it's just aggravating that in the meantime, while the situation, to quote the CBP, remains unchanged. So while the situation remains unchanged, legal cannabis is getting seized, employees are getting arrested. This is absurd. And this brings me to the final bit of good news that I want to share with you on this episode. The recent DEA remarks, which I've brought up on the show, suggest they will reschedule cannabis, leading to public comment period. I talked about the public comment period with my friends Alina Rodriguez and David Valencourt of S3 Collective, who are doing a lot of great work on the foundational front to try and establish some universal standards for cannabis product. That way, when it is rescheduled or when it becomes federally legal and the federal government gets out of the way, so interstate commerce and all the states that haven't yet jumped on board will do so, we have a framework in place for them to replicate. And the process can be smoother and quicker, and they can hit the ground running. So they're doing great work at S3 Collective. Highly recommend you check that episode out if you haven't. But this last article, which was published yesterday, again at the Marijuana Herald, the DEA has told several senators that the agency is following the necessary procedures in their cannabis rescheduling review, including a forthcoming public comment period and a hearing. The key point here is that those would only be necessary if the DEA actually decides to reschedule cannabis. So that is the bit of good news, is that even though they've been dragging their feet, and as I said before, it's terrible. It should have been done a long time ago, but government agencies, A, move slow. The bureaucratic bloat is just kind of evident in the way that things get done a lot of the time. And for certain departments who control, like, their level of power and authority, like the DEA, this goes directly against their own self-interest. So like I said, I mean, even if it takes till the end of this year, and if it does take winning an election by the Democrats and retaking the House, if that's what it takes to get cannabis fully over the hump and legalized, then obviously I would think, if you're listening to this, you probably agree that that should be done. And that we should all get on board and help that happen however we can. But the point being, even if the DEA does drag its feet, the fact that their comments, even though on the surface they seem discouraging, the Marijuana Herald and Anthony Martinelli suggest here that reading between the lines actually shows the DEA is planning to reschedule here, to do this, to listen to the American people and actually remove cannabis from the Schedule 1 substance list. That, as I said, it's not perfect, and it's far from the only thing that needs to be done. But if that is what can be done maybe before the election, and then November comes, and if things go that way, then maybe next year we're talking about full legalization. But if this can get done whenever that happens, if this can get done next week, if this can get done in a month, then I'm all for it, because even moving it to Schedule 3 is going to open things up for businesses. It should allow safer banking to pass. It should make a lot of the red tape and a lot of the headache for business owners and consumers alike. It should make a lot of that go away. And I thought that was certainly something worth celebrating, and I wanted to end on a happy note this week. I'll be back with another interview next week. Be sure to leave a rating or review of the show on whichever platform you're listening. Become a subscriber through the Support the Show link and follow the show on social media at the Cannabis Man Podcast Facebook page and YouTube channel, and C-Man Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. Have a great weekend. Enjoy some cannabis and spend some time with those you're close to. Reach out to people you love and tell them so. And we'll talk again soon on the Cannabis Man Podcast. Bye-bye. Cannabis Man is 100% originally crafted by myself, Don Kleppen. Original theme music written and composed by Yusu Kim, a.k.a. Goodson.